Grab a Bible, if you would. Turn to Luke 4. Luke 8. Man, I need another vacation, you know? Luke 8, thank you. We're going to read, starting in verse 4, and we're going to read through verse 21. We read this last week. We're going to read it again. So, this is what we see from Luke 8. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell in good soil, and it grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then his mothers and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." If you weren't here last Sunday, let me kind of get you up to speed. And if you were here last Sunday, I want to refresh your memory. As I'm hoping you picked up here in this passage, the theme of these verses is hearing. Jesus says at the end of verse 8, in fact, he doesn't just say it, he calls it out to the one who has ears to hear. Let him hear. It's not a suggestion, First Baptist. And that's not mere icing on the cake. Truly hearing Jesus is both the definition of discipleship and a prerequisite for growing or maturing as a disciple. Something that Jesus reveals in this passage is that hearing only comes as a result of the sovereign grace of God. When he reveals the truth to us, he gives the opportunity to hear to some, and he keeps the secrets of the kingdom from others at certain times. And nothing short of his gracious and powerful will revealing the truth of the kingdom cuts through the darkness. We need the light of God's revelation. I want to encourage you to listen to last week's sermon. If you didn't have a chance, if you missed it, it'll help explain and understand some of that sovereign grace we talked about. It may not stop you from scratching your head a little bit, but I do pray that it will encourage you to love and trust and turn to God more and more. Again, the burden of all of these sermons is that we might know how to hear. What does it mean to hear, and how can we do it? We don't learn that just from one or two sermons. We learn that from all of them put together. That last one in particular is going to be important because it's going to turn not to the merely to the obstacles, but actually what it looks like to do it. Okay? So try your best to listen to all of these sermons in the course of these next few weeks. Now, we began this little section by focusing on those hindrances to hearing Jesus, what keeps us from hearing him, like we need to hear. And I gave you that brief outline. I'll put it up on the screen again for you. The sovereignty of God. We looked at that last week and how he reveals when he does and to whom he does on his purpose. Satan is the obstacle. Hardships are an obstacle. Love for this world also is a hindrance. It's those last three hindrances that we're going to focus on this morning. And I get all of them from Jesus' explanation in that parable of the sower. So that's what we're going to spend our time looking at. Now, before we get to that parable, though, let me just say this. At least one of these hindrances or obstacles are currently tempting you and threatening your faith. If you think you somehow are immune from the schemes of the evil one and the cogs of this world tempting you to fail at hearing Jesus like he needs to be heard, Satan has you exactly where he wants you, and you are on the precipice of spiritual danger. So hear today's sermon as someone in the crosshairs of Satan's attacks. You're not a passive observer of other people who might be hindered from hearing Jesus well. No, sin is crouching at your door. So the first obstacle Jesus mentions here is Satan himself. We see that in verses 11 and 12. Let's just reread that. It says, now the parable is this, Jesus is saying, the seed is the word of God. So think about that. This is the word of God, the gospel that brings forth faith. That's what he's talking about. Verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. With family was at Forest Springs not too long ago. We were at family camp, and at Forest Springs, you'll notice you'll have all these walking paths that get you where you need to go. Some of those are made on purpose by our good friend like Del Croker and his team, right? But other paths are made just because kids or campers are cutting through the woods and they found a quick way to get to where they want to go. And these paths are hard. Oftentimes, they're rocky. If a sower went out to sow some seeds on that path, birds would have all the time in the world to find those seeds and have themselves a meal. And Jesus says that the first kind of heart that doesn't hear like they need to hear is kind of like those paths. Verse 11 says this, right? It says they hear. So notice, it's not that they don't hear. It's just not the kind of hearing that they need to have. The gospel goes into their ears, but it doesn't produce faith. Why not? Well, no one would mistake a person who hears like this as a believer, okay? The message of the gospel has been ignored or rejected or not understood. There's no superficial kinds of signs or fruit that comes from hearing the word of God this way. Instead, Satan comes and snatches the word and the grace of the kingdom so that nothing even resembling faith emerges from this kind of person's life. Now, what I find interesting about this first obstacle is where Jesus locates the problem. Jesus doesn't say that the hardness of the path or the hardness of a person's heart is the obstacle. He doesn't say that's the hindrance, though that's a problem, right? Instead, he locates the problem with the evil one himself. Satan comes, he snatches the word away. Okay. That's why the seed doesn't bear fruit. Notice the wording of Jesus' teaching. Look at verse 12. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so hear that purpose. There's a purpose in Satan snatching the word so that they may not believe and be saved. So the reason why people do not believe and get saved is because Satan comes and snatches the word. That's what keeps them from having saving faith. So let's talk about what that means and how we should be applying it to our lives. First of all, friends, I want you to notice the cosmic or spiritual forces at work in the battle of souls. If you are waiting for children, if you're waiting for a spouse or siblings or friends to turn to Jesus, to trust in him, know that the real battle is a spiritual battle that cannot be seen with these eyes. I know what it looks like. I know it looks like they drink too much or they smoke too much weed. And if they just stopped, then there could be this opportunity to preach the gospel to them. I know that it looks like they run with the wrong crowd. I know that it looks like they're too preoccupied with the things of the world. I know it looks like their music is bad for their heart and their mind. And you know what? That all may be true. I'm not trying to minimize those problems, but that's just not the real problem. All won't be well just when those things change. The real problem is with the powers and principalities of this present darkness that come in and snatch the word of God as soon as it's sown. So flesh and blood, earth and water, things that we can touch and see with our hands and with our eyes are no match for the spiritual forces that are unseen. Okay? We don't fight those unseen forces with things of this world, whether they are of God or whether they are of the devil. C.J. Mahaney is a Christian leader and pastor in the United States here. God saved him as a young man from a life of drug abuse and selfish pleasure. I have a video that I want to show you. He's sharing his testimony, and I want you to pay attention to how God grabbed him in the midst of his sin. So go ahead and roll that clip.
A friend of mine who had, in effect, participated in leading me into this world, relocated to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and a few weeks after he relocated, he somehow wandered into a Southern Baptist church where he heard the gospel. He not only heard the gospel, he was regenerated. He then turned from his sins and trusted in the Savior, and then, just a few weeks later, he returned to Maryland with one passion and purpose. He wanted to share the gospel, what he understood of the gospel, with all who were his friends. And by the grace of God, I was one of his friends. So one night, he asked to meet with me, and I assumed it was so that we could rejoin and party together. We met initially at my house. And as I sat down, I pulled out some hash, if my memory serves me, and I offered some to him. He declined. I was momentarily perplexed, but not deterred from participating myself. And as I began to smoke, he began to share. Only been a Christian a few weeks. Didn't really know much. Oh, but he knew enough. And he communicated to me the gospel about Christ and him crucified, about a Savior who died for my sins. And at some point, as he shared the gospel, in between tokes on that pipe, God acted upon me. Now, please understand, to my knowledge, this is the first time I ever heard the gospel. And the first time I ever heard the gospel, I experienced the miracle of regeneration. I turned from my sins. I trusted in the Savior for forgiveness of sins. And that evening, my life was dramatically transformed.
I wanted to share that video with you because I think it illustrates the power of the gospel, cutting through the darkness. You wouldn't think someone could get saved high as a kite, you know? You wouldn't think that would happen. And I'm not trying to suggest that's normal, okay? But that's the power of the Word of God. That's the effectual power of the Word being sown in the life of a person, hearing about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, being raised to new life. And that's why it's Satan's goal to snatch that word as soon as possible. So what do we do? Well, we pray. Okay? We pray. We pray like we've never prayed before, because this battle is not one of flesh and blood. Okay? Tim and George and myself, we pray every week for the salvation of sinners. The list that we pray through has been primarily made by you, as you have shared with us over the years, family members and friends, co-workers and neighbors, that you're hoping will be saved. I'm guessing some people have been on that card, the names have been on that card for a good 10 years. And if I'm honest, sometimes I'm tempted to think this isn't working very well. You know, tempted to stop. But then I'm reminded of the Word of God. I'm reminded of God's love and power. I'm reminded of his promises to hear our prayers. I'm reminded that our God loves to give mercy in his way and in his time. And so we keep praying with watchful eyes. Okay? So friends, remember, nothing but the sovereign grace of God. We talked about that last week. We'll save the lost. And so pray, and then pray specifically. I mean, use this word as ways to inform your prayer. Pray, Father, keep the evil one from snatching the word away from, you know, you name it. Pray. Pray that the evil one would be stopped. Pray that the word that was sown would take fruit and root immediately. God, may it happen as soon as the word is preached, so that the word doesn't linger and is snatched away by the devil. Okay? So use the parable and the truth of what we're learning to inform your praying. But remember, the battle is one that requires God's work and power, and that is why we pray. We do other things. We love, we use our hands in acts of service. We definitely need to use our mouths to share what God has done, and we pray. Now let's move on to these other two obstacles, hardships and love for this world. I'm tempted to give each one their own sermon, but I also feel we talk about this on a somewhat regular basis around here, these temptations, so we're going to cover ground a little faster now, and we're going to touch on them in that third sermon too. I want to begin by showing you that there's some reason that you might think that these next two kinds of people who have heard are saved. Look at verses 13 and 14. If you will, and Luke 8. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and a time of testing, they fall away. Same thing with those that fall among the thorns. They hear it, and then a plant grows somehow. So they must have received it. They must believe. But I don't think these people are saved. These are not saved individuals. I have two reasons for thinking that. The first clue is discovered when you compare these two with the one described as good soil, okay? That's one of the things that Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to contrast how you ought to hear to how you might not hear so well, okay? So let's look briefly at what Jesus says about how you are to hear. It says that the seed that's sown in a heart that's good, it says hears and receives the word. Look at verse 15, and it says it holds the word of God fast. It holds it fast. We're going to talk more about what that means in that third sermon, but I just want to share with you now that there's places in the scriptures that let us know that holding firm or holding fast the word or the faith or the gospel is required to be saved. Or another way of saying it is if you don't hold the word of God fast, that's a sign that you have not received the gospel. One of those verses is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. It goes this way, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. That reference to house is like a reference to his people, all that God has entrusted to him, and he's looking over his flock. And then it says this, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. We hold it fast. Hold fast our confidence. Hold fast the word. Hold fast the gospel. If we hold fast to it, the implication, of course, is if we don't hold fast our confidence, God's word, we're not a part of God's house. If we're not a part of God's house, then we're not a part of his family. Second clue is found in the phrase there at the end of verse 13. Look at the very end of verse 13. It says, they, those who receive the word like on shallow soil, these they have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. Okay? That's been a theme in Luke. We've talked about this already. Remember how John the Baptist, even John the Baptist, was tempted to fall away, and Jesus comes and he gives him that warning. It gives the warning to his disciples. Okay. Jesus is saying here in verse 13 that the time of testing causes some to fall away because the word of God doesn't take root in a person's life. So they leave Jesus. That's what that word means. It means to leave. This word is the exact same word used in 1 Timothy chapter 4, which reads this way, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart. That's that word, depart, leave from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Depart, leave. Okay. Jesus says in verse 13 that some leave the faith during times of testing. That's not what happens to saved people. Now, saved people struggle. Saved people give in to temptation, right? Saved people fall short more times than we like to admit. Saved people are far, far from perfect. Okay, saved people do all kinds of things like that. But you know what else saved people do? They keep repenting. They keep turning. They keep holding fast to the word of God because they have this even gutsy, bold belief that the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to forgive them of all of their sins, the ones that they keep on doing over and over again, though they hate it. Holding fast, standing firm, doesn't mean we're perfect. It simply means that the word of God has taken root in such a way that we keep remaining with Christ, keep turning to Christ, even when we sin and fall away. So friends, we're talking about saving faith here. Jesus is not trying to comfort people who have superficial faith. He's not trying to comfort those people. He's not trying to say, well, you know, you're still saved even though you give up on Jesus or things of his word during hard times. Or, you know, you really are still saved even though nothing good of Christ is coming from your life. It's okay because you've said that prayer and everything. He's not trying to do that. He's not trying to comfort people who have superficial faith. He's trying to warn us. He's trying to warn us to keep pressing into the Lord, keep turning to him. So let's look at these obstacles first. Jesus says hardships are an obstacle of hearing. Look at verse 13. Let's just look at that verse. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away or depart. I'm very zealous for the word of God to be firmly rooted in your life, friends, in my life. Life is a test. Every day, you are tested. Some of these tests are big. These big tests that come maybe every now and then. And they're very noticeable. They're very obvious. Tests be like sickness and disease. Or the loss of career or income. Or adultery or divorce. Ravaging your marriage. The death of a loved one. These are big tests that come around every now and then. But you know what, friends? There's also little ones that happen every day. Little daily tests that are no less dangerous to our faith. The daily test, to be honest, with those that you work with and live with every day. The daily test of waking up for some of you single when you would like to be married. The daily test to remain patient and kind, helpful to your kids when they are being disobedient. See, here's my point. God has given us his word to obey. That's what it means to be a disciple. In Luke 6, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? That's what disciples do. They hear God's word and they believe it and obey it. And these big hardships, these little hardships, these tests that happen on a grand scale and a small scale, every one of them tempts us to ignore his word. And if you're not careful, if you don't take care how you hear, then it is quite possible that you will leave Jesus as a result of the test. How do you leave him? You leave him by not doing what he tells you to do. Oh, you won't call it leaving him. You won't call it departing from him. You'll have an excuse as to why you ought not to have to follow Jesus in this particular situation. But that's what it is. That's departing Jesus when we don't do what he says. So hardships are a test and an obstacle to faith. That last obstacle we're going to talk about is love for this world. Again, I get that from verse 14. It says, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Their fruit does not mature. I've been thinking about August lately. We're in the month of August. It's somewhat of a weird month in my estimation. On the one hand, summer's still here. I'm trying my best to milk every warm day out of it as I can. At the same time, I can feel, especially as a parent of kids going off to school, I can feel the weight of the school year bearing down on me even right now. Okay, and so those things, those cares, those concerns of the upcoming school year are choking my summer. And that's kind of what's happening here with our faith. The cares and joys and concerns of the world that we have right now have a way of choking the life out of your faith. Okay, how does that happen? And real briefly, reason why that happens is because those cares and concerns and joys of this world, they vie for preeminence in our life. And when we value them preeminently over Christ, who is preeminent, those cares and concerns will choke the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus. And we will not become fruitful and effective in the cause of Christ. This passage, my brothers and sisters, is a warning passage. You should feel the danger. You know, sometimes I think, you know, we read a passage, especially publicly in a sermon like this, there's a temptation to kind of minimize the sharpness of a word. I don't want to do that. You should feel the danger. You should feel the dread of falling away or having your faith choked. You should be concerned about the devil snatching the word away. That's why Jesus says in verse 18, take care how you hear. And so first, let this word sit on you. Sit with it. Ask yourself, where might the temptation come from me? How should I take care how to hear? Spend some time analyzing if the word of God is taking root in such a way in your life where it's demonstrating itself in enduring faith in the midst of trials and tests, or if the word of God is producing fruitfulness instead of being choked. And so the first word I want to give you here in closing is hear the warning. But again, I want to give you hope as well. I want to give you hope. And here's the hope. Your God is completely able and sufficient to keep you, to guard you. Turn to him. Those who draw near to him, he can save completely. He will save you completely. So turn to him. He is able to do that. And that is God's word for us this morning.